Today's topic is an interesting topic, the joys of service, and I'll try to share some thoughts with you on what came to my mind when I heard that title. And I'm not going to speak too long, actually. I'd really gonna try to open it up pretty quickly, and I'd love to hear from all of you and maybe your realizations on savor, selfless service, and maybe questions you may have. Before we begin, we'll just say a few prayers, and in this way, pray that some of these things that we're talking about will really penetrate the cores of our hearts and really transform our vision, which is what we're really looking for. Gyananjana Shalakaya. Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namah Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivashadi Gaur Bhaktavritta Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So the joys of service. Now, maybe what I'm going to say first up here may come as a shock, may not be what you're expecting. Maybe Kishori will get angry with me. But I have to be honest. I have to be honest with all of you. It's said in the Bhagavatam that one can only understand the Bhagavatam if they're thoroughly honest. So I have to be honest with you and tell you that when I read that title, The Joys of Service, I thought to myself, actually, my experience in whatever years of devotional service I've had the fortune of doing is that service has not always been joyful. And that's how I'm going to begin today's talk. And hopefully it will get more positive as we go along. But I have to be very honest with you. Service, in my experience, has not always been joyful. When you do devotional service for Krishna, often you have to make a sacrifice. Maybe some of you have experienced. You have to sacrifice your time. You have to sacrifice energy. Sometimes you have to go beyond the call of duty. Sometimes you're the last one out of the program when really what you want to be doing is just curling up in bed. Sometimes you have to contend with the elements. Last week we were at Rath Yatra and we were setting up. And I was trying to do a bit of service, and it was raining, it was cold. I was in a dhoti and I was climbing a step ladder to put a sign up. And I was like, who invented dhotis? Like, these are so impractical. And it wasn't easy. I have to tell you, I wasn't feeling 100% joyful at that moment. In service, you have to make a sacrifice. When you serve, you don't always get a reciprocation, or you don't always see the results of what you're doing. Or sometimes the results come, but they come a long way down the line. Sometimes there are results, but they're invisible. They may never come to your perception. So sometimes you're serving and you're thinking, what is the result of all of this? Sometimes, most of the time, when you're serving, you have to serve with others. And when you serve with others, it can be very joyful, and it can also be full of other things like conflict, like differences of opinion, like friction. For people to be together in today's day and age is not easy. Woody Allen, the comedian, he once said, me and my wife, we have separate cars. We eat at separate times. We have separate hobbies. And we do separate things in our spare time. We're doing everything we can to keep our relationship together. That was an interesting point. You know, when people come together, there's always a chance for conflict. Service often involves a lot of anxiety, isn't it? You may have noticed, you know, you have to give a talk or you have to organize a talk. I'm sure Kishori had some moments of anxiety organizing this event. You invite a prominent speaker, not me, of course, someone prominent, and you're wondering who will come, will people come, will I look like a fool? There's a lot of anxiety. Service, dear friends, I think is not always joyful. However, all of us have come here to serve. All of us have been through these emotions, but here we are again, signing ourselves up to do service. Even after experiencing all of these things, we keep coming back for more. Why is that? Because my conclusion is that service is not always joyful immediately, but service is deeply satisfying. It gives you a deep sense of contentment, fulfillment, a deep sense of reward that, frankly, no other activity in the world can compare to. Service is the function of the soul, isn't it? The Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Jivera Svarupahoy Krishnera Nitya Das. The Svarup, the very constitution, the right position of the Jiva is to always be Nitya, always to be in the position of a Das or a servant. Service is the function of the soul, but sometimes the mind and the body may scream. But because it's the service, it's the function of the soul, it always ends up being deeply satisfying. And therefore, we always come back for more service, even though there is anxiety. One devotee, once he was in Vrindavan, and he was overseeing the construction of the Krishna Balaram temple. And, you know, that means cement bags, that means working with Indian builders, that means going to the municipality to get permissions for building structures and so on and so forth. It was a lot of anxiety. And it also meant collecting funds to build the temple. He was in Vrindavan, Krishna's own land, the playground of God. And here he was constructing a temple for Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan, and the devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and said, I'm in Vrindavan. Everywhere I see, people are chanting. Everywhere I go, people are reading Bhagavatam. Even when I go out to the rickshaw drivers, they just look at me without a care in the world and say, Radhe, Radhe. But while they're saying Radhe, Radhe, in my mind, I'm just thinking rupee, rupee. I'm just thinking of how I'm going to earn funds, how I'm going to get the permissions, how I'm going to protect the cement bags. Srila Prabhupada, I'm in Vrindavan. I just want to focus on Krishna. And all I'm that's hijacking my mind is the anxiety of devotional service. And Prabhupada looked right back at this devotee and said, without rupee rupee, there will be no substance to your Radhe Radhe. And without the substance of a heartfelt Radhe Radhe, there will be no real entrance into the deeper mysteries of Vrindavan. And in that moment, he realized, yes, it is through this service that we meet God. It is through this sacrifice that we actually come face to face with Krishna. So here we are, and we invite everyone to take up service. Not because it's always joyful. It is joyful, but not always. But what we can definitely guarantee, 100%, without a shadow of a doubt, is that at the end of a day of service for Krishna, you will feel deeply satisfied, deeply purified, deeply fulfilled. You will experience adventure. You will experience a lot of growth. You will learn many new skills that otherwise in life you may never learn. You will feel the closeness of Krishna. And you will also feel the magic of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because when you serve, you are actually entering the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago to spread this movement everywhere. And when someone comes forward and says, I want to be part of it, I want to play a part, then immediately they become part of that transcendental movement. Miraculous things begin happening. You see magic manifest before your eyes and you get hooked and you feel, I want to keep doing this. I want to keep experiencing more. So I feel in my life that my most beautiful experiences of Krishna consciousness have been while trying to do some service for Krishna. Whether that be sharing Krishna consciousness with others, whether that be management and organizing the school of bhakti, whether it be something as seemingly insignificant as washing pots or cleaning up after a program. These are not normal activities. We are a team. We're part of something great. I always like this story that once, who was that? I think it was Bill Gates, maybe. He came to the NASA space station, maybe Cape Canaveral, and he went into the lavatories. And he was washing his hands and he was watching the cleaner. And the cleaner was like doing his like cleaning meticulously. He was like inspired. He was like totally into it. So Bill Gates looked at him and said, like, he was trying to figure out, like, wow, this is like the most highly motivated cleaner I've ever seen. And so he came up to the cleaner and he said, you really like your job, huh? You really like cleaning, what is it about cleaning that really does it for you? And the janitor looked straight back at him and he said, I'm not a cleaner. No. I'm not a cleaner. I'm part of a team that's putting a man on the moon. Right? And that was like in that moment. I don't know if it was Bill Gates or whoever it was. Maybe it was John F. Kennedy, actually. I think it was John F. Kennedy. It was John F. Kennedy, not Bill Gates. In that moment, JFK realized, wow, everyone here is just part of a team. And some people serve in the back. And some people serve in the middle. And some people serve on the front. But they're all one team. and they're all working together because they all have a bigger vision of something amazing that's going to transpire. And when I heard that, I thought, wow, that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, that all of us here are doing different things, and all of us have different skills, different abilities. But we're all part of a team. Not a team that's putting a man on the moon because Prabhupada maybe had other ideas on man going to the moon. But we're going to do something different. We're going to try and conquer as many hearts as we can through the movement of love, the movement of prema, the movement that everyone's looking for. So it's really something beautiful. I'm going to share a few more thoughts with you, and then I'm going to kind of open it up because I'd love to hear what your experiences of service have been. What may be sometimes some of the challenges you may have. And then we can kind of have a little bit of an open forum. I'm just going to share a few things with you, a few more things. One time we had a traveling Sankirtan party, and they used to go in a motorhome and they'd park up in different places. So one day they had parked up by the beach, and they went out to town and they met a really interested person, and they said, yeah, we're monks. And this person couldn't believe they were monks. Just like, no, I don't believe monks exist. The monks are extinct. You know, they're from like the dark ages. Like they don't exist anymore. No, we're monks. If you don't believe us, come back to our motorhome and you'll see that we're monks, because you'll see our books. You'll see the ins, you know. So this guy came back to the motorhome. They brought him back. As soon as he opened the motorhome door, he smelled like, you know, like khichdi, you know, like the chaunts of the khichdi. So he was a bit like, and then he smelled the incense. And then he walked in and then he saw all these books and then all these pictures of Krishna. He was like, wow, you guys are the real McCoy. You're really monks. And then he started walking around inside the motorhome. And inside the motorhome, what the devotees had done is that they had these kind of record cards and they were memorizing verses. So they had put up all these verses. So he was going through the motorhome and he's reading all these verses. And then he came above the sink. And above the sink, there was one verse from the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. And he stood there. And he looked at this verse and he read it. And he just looked at the devotee and he said, this verse has blown my mind. I need to get out of here. So the devotee was like, he couldn't even remember which was the verse above the sink. So he went to look at, well, what's this verse that's blown this person's mind? And this was the verse. I need a sharing rights. Keep you in a bit of suspense now while I get sharing rights. This was the verse above the sink that this new person came into the motorhome, the monk's motorhome, and saw. And he says, this verse has blown my mind. And it was actually a moment of where he became completely displaced. But this is the verse, right? So this is a verse from the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. It's a verse spoken by Prahlad, where Prahlad says, Sukhaya dukamokshaya sankalpa iha karmina sadapnoti haya dukam anihaya sukhavrata. Sanskrit seems pretty non-threatening, very sweet, very... yeah, almost comforting. It seems very nice. But this is the English translation Prahlad Maharaj is speaking. And he says, in this material world, every materialist desires to achieve happiness and diminish his distress. And therefore, he acts accordingly. And now this is the killer line. Actually, however, one is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. As soon as one begins his activities for happiness, his conditions of distress begin. And when this man saw this verse, he said, "This is blowing my mind. Are you telling me that the moment I try to become happy, at that very moment, my distress begins?" And the devotee said, "Well, this is the Bhagavatam, you know, this is what we follow." And then the devotee explained to him that, and he summed it up in a beautiful sutra. He looked at this person and he said, "Let me share with you one gem of wisdom which has guided my life." He said, "Don't try to be happy. Try to serve." And he just kind of left that with the person. The person was just like, okay, it landed there. He was just kind of registering it. And he said it again, "Don't try to be happy. Just try to serve." Because you know what? Service, it's not always joyful. It's not always seemingly immediately attractive. It's not always glamorous. It doesn't always seem to work out like how you think it will work out. It's not always plain sailing. But service is deeply satisfying, deeply fulfilling to the soul. And anyone who served, I will bet my bottom dollar on this, even though I have literally nothing in my account, because I know you won't take any money from me for this, because it's absolutely true. Anyone who has tasted the deep, fulfilling nature of service will never want to do anything else. They'll always come back for more because it's special. People will never wash dishes at home. I know people don't wash dishes at home. Mamta's saying she washes dishes. I'm going to come and check out that you don't have a dishwasher. Oh no, you're saying you don't wash dishes. Okay. But for Krishna, people will come and wash these huge pots that you can sleep in. Right? No one paints. How many of the ladies on this call have been telling their husbands for months that, "Can you paint the living room? Can you paint the bedroom?" No one paints at home. Well, when it comes to painting for Janmashtami, everyone's there. Right? No one likes cooking at home. Okay, maybe devotees are a little different, but for Krishna, oh, for the Krishna, we can cook. Service is special. Service has a taste. And I think I was honored in my life to stay at the manor, because I feel at the manor, I witnessed many amazing servants, many amazing devotees who had an incredible service attitude. I'm learning the art of service from them. We had Mother Kalangana, who for decades was making Krishna's sweets, painting them, decorating them with such devotion. She'd run into the temple room with her apron, which said, "Krishna's little helper." And every morning she'd be there at 2 a.m. Boiling the milk so that it could be sweet and thick and relishable for Krishna. How she was just satisfied in that service for many, many years without need for anything else, just satisfied in serving. We remember Jivapati Prabhu, Radha Gokulananda's pujari, who served the deities. He offered nearly 10,000 mangalartis. He offered, 5,000 to 7,000 evening artis. How many mornings was he there dressing their lordships, day in, day out, just satisfied in service. In his final days, he was in Watford General, and one devotee came to him. And as the devotee was leaving, Jiva Pratipabhu said, the doctor just told me that even if I get better and I am able to leave the hospital, I won't be able to do my service for Krishna like I used to do before. And then Jiva Pratipabhu looked at the devotee and he said, if I can't do my service for Krishna, how do these people expect me to live? What's the point of living? The devotee's heart kind of dropped, but he said a few comforting words and then he left. And the very next day, Jiva Pratipabhu left the world. And the devotee reflected that in that moment where the doctor said, you won't be able to do your service, it was almost as though Jiva Pratipabhu lost the will to live, because a devotee lives to serve. And he so much embodied that spirit. We remember devotees like Shri Dharma Prabhu, Pranabandhu Prabhu. Shivaram Maharaj said, you have devotees of Krishna, and then you have devotees of Bhaktivedanta Mana. And Shri Dharma and Pranabandhu Prabhu, if there was ever such a thing as a devotee of Bhaktivedanta Mana, then it would be Shri Dharma Prabhu and Pranabandhu Prabhu, because they have sold their lives. The Bhaktivedanta Mana and the concerns of Bhaktivedanta Mana run through their veins. That's what they live for. His Grace Prayojana Prabhu, who for years and years has maintained Krishna's temple, cleaning the toilets, sweeping the corridors, serving prasadam to the devotees. And perhaps he also told you off a few times as well, if you got on the wrong side. All for service, of course. I mean, he is so serious. Yeah? If you want to meet a devotee who's serious about their service, it's Prayojana Prabhu. I mean, it's more his process for cleaning the toilets is more complicated than doing a Mangalarti transfer for the deities. Trust me. It's not easy because he takes it so serious. These are all legends. These are all the saints of our time. These are all individuals who have given their hearts and minds fully to serving Krishna. And what about the old Indian aunties, the old Indian masis who make, as we speak, they are probably at the manor making hundreds of thousands of samosas. In this way, feeding so many devotees and singing bhajans while they do their service. And amazing, amazing personalities. So I feel service is such a beautiful thing. I know many of you on this call have taken so many responsibilities, and you make School of Bhakti what it is. What is a School of Bhakti if those who are running the school are not serving? But you, because you serve so deeply, it really makes it a school of bhakti. School of bhakti is not just an institution to intellectually teach people about a philosophy from 5,000 years ago. School of bhakti is a place where we need living examples of what the scriptures talk about. And when we see all of you who serve, who do all of those things I mentioned, you make the sacrifice, you take the anxiety, and you just keep going month after month, year after year. Many of you have jobs, you have families, and you fit it all in. We're humbled. Here we are in Saffron, you know, in the ashram. You know, we get all the respect, we get all the accolade, we get all the limelight. And I have to be honest with you that sometimes I feel very humbled, because I feel as though all of you give so much more in spite of so much, so many challenges. So many excuses you could make if you wanted to, but you don't, because you love what you do. So I feel humbled, and I'm very happy to have the opportunity to share some thoughts with you on the joys of service. And I invite you maybe to share, maybe if you have some thoughts, if you have some questions. Of course, if you have complaints, then Kishori, Srina, and Jitesh are there, and I'll catch up with them later. But I'd be very happy to hear from you, and then we can churn the ocean of the topic of Seva, which is the heart of the school of Bhakti. So yes, please, over to you. I don't know if anyone has any questions.
So I think the most sensible thing maybe is if you have any questions, you can write them in the chat box. Or if you feel like you want to, you can also go ahead and unmute yourself. So that's up to you guys.
Yes. So, yeah. So if you would like to put it in the chat box, or if you'd like to unmute yourself, it doesn't have to be a question. Maybe you have a reflection. Maybe you... would like to share some different perspectives on devotional service. That would be very nice. So yes, anyone?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Oh yes, Hare Krishna. Nice to see you.
That's what I was trying to. Thank you so much for the lovely talk, Prabhuji, and thank you all the devotees for attending this. For me, two things I wanted to say. First thing was, I was given an opportunity to work at the London Soho Temple on the Rath Yatra day. I was felt so happy. I was saying, please give me some more utensils. I want to wash. I wanted to wash them, cutting all the vegetables. It was such a joyous thing. I mean, driving early in the morning, getting ready. They say, oh, you have to drive. I said, no, it doesn't matter. Parking my car at the risky place. I said, Krishna, I will take care. I don't care where it is. Just there, and then getting the train and coming. It was a different thing altogether, and then enjoying the whole Rath Yatra. It felt like you're working, and then you come and enjoy. You know, it was so nice to meet everybody. So the joy of wanting, God has given me one opportunity. He's invited me. I have to go. I have to go. You know, they were saying, so far. I said, no. I'll never get this opportunity again. I have to go. And that was, I can't say how happy I was, you know, to be there. The same thing, whenever I want to come to Bhaktivedanta Manor, for me it's a bit of a trek. I have to make at least 2 hours journey. But the thought of coming to Bhaktivedanta Manor and meeting everybody and seeing Krishna and lots of devotees, I met so many devotees. And I just want to say that obviously I haven't been able to give much of my service to School of Bhakti as Dimple Mataji. Before I did with so much of enthusiasm, I did, but I got so much overwhelmed with my normal mundane work that I give a bit of problem than actually helping them. But my desire, intense desire is there to do more and more, because I think this is unparalleled. This happiness is really unparalleled to anything you do. And I want to really thank you all from the bottom of my heart. That's what I want to share, Prabhuji. It was so nice meeting yourself. I was really shocked to see, because, oh my God, I'm seeing Suttapadas Prabhu live. And that was the biggest joy I've ever seen. So also, I'll take this occasion to just say that I want to really give some grant to yourself so that you're spreading so much of wisdom to write some books or do whatever it is, Prabhuji. I don't know how you'll want me to either do Dimple Mataji or I have to give it to Bhaktivedanta Man or Central Pool, whichever way. But I really want you because you're putting so much of effort into spreading the wisdom to encourage you to write more books. One special request, if you can you please write on the journey of the soul, please, at some point of time when you have time? I'd be really very, very happy if you could, at some point, even a small booklet, that would be great. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mamta. No, I really appreciate your kind words.
Thank you.
Service has a special taste. I remember we used to have one devotee and he used to spend his 4 weeks of holidays from work, and he used to come and do all the Janmashtami service. He used to sleep on the floor all day. He'd be out sometimes in the rain, putting up tents, lifting wood, cleaning kitchens, cutting carrots, peeling potatoes. And he used to just love it. And the day he would leave, he would say, one year he left and he said, "Sutapa, I'm in such a big anxiety." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because now I have to go to work. And I have to tell them where I've been on holiday for the last 4 weeks." And I said, "What's the problem?" He says, "They're going to be expecting me to say, like, I went to the Bahamas or I went to Mallorca. And what am I going to be telling them? I'm going to be telling them for my 4 weeks of holiday, I slept on the floor. I woke up at 4 a.m. every morning. I washed pots in the kitchen. I put up tents. I lifted logs. And you know what? I had a great time." Because he says, I'm in an anxiety every year because I don't know what to tell them because no one will understand how joyful service is. And it was just driving home that truth of how special devotional service is. So yes, thank you. Kishori, are you going to field the questions or should I just read them off? Or?
I can read the questions out if that's easier.
Okay, yeah. Sure.
Okay, so we have a question here and it's saying, "What advice do you have for engaging in service and keeping Krishna in the center?"
Yes, service and sadhana or spiritual practice have to go together. And so you have to make time also. Srila Prabhupada did once say that all your service will become, if you don't read Krishna's books, if you don't chant sufficiently, then all of the service that you're doing for Krishna, you will feel it eventually to be like a big burden. We want to know who we're ultimately serving. We want to know how they are touched by our service. We want to know, we want to do our service in a very deep devotional mood. And for that, there has to be spiritual practice. And so service and sadhana go hand in hand. And when we have that good sadhana, then the service really comes alive because there's a sense of a conscious connection with Krishna when we're doing it. So yeah, please, in the midst of all of you who are serving and doing so much, please don't forget that your own spiritual practices are so important. Sometimes some of you, we have to force you. We have to remind you because you're so driven to serve Krishna. But please remember that your own spiritual well-being and inspiration is central as well.
Thank you, Prabhu. There's a question from Rohini. Is service absolute, i.e. same result for everyone? Same result for everyone, or does service attitude matter and results are different? Her question makes sense. I wasn't able to unmute myself.
Thank you, Rohini. Very nice question. Well, Krishna says, "Patram pushpam phalam doyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Tadaham bhakti uparitam ashnami prayatatmana." Krishna says, I don't really need much. A fruit, a flower, a drop of water is enough. But what I'm really hungry for is devotion. What I'm really hungry for is your wholehearted, sincere desire to want to serve me. And so seva bhav. Bhava means attitude. And sometimes more important than our actual physical service is the seva bhav, the attitude with which we do it. However, it works both ways, because sometimes when we serve, then later on the bhava, the emotion, the heartfelt love for Krishna comes about by that service. And at the same time, when we're doing the service, we want to have that heartfelt mood. So we try as much as possible to serve with the proper attitude, with the proper bhava. And we know that even when we serve and that bhava or that attitude is not there, then by that sincere service, ultimately Krishna will gift us with that. But yes, ultimately, it's all about Krishna only wants our attitude. He only wants our devotion. That's the most important.
Thank you. We have a question here from Rainu saying, how do we shift the COVID fear? Haribo.
How do we shift the COVID fear? I didn't catch the last bit.
Yeah, so how do we shift the COVID fear and inertia, I think it says.
Oh, how do we shift the
COVID fear? Oh, yeah.
Inertia. In life, I don't think you can escape fear, isn't it? Fear, there's so many fearful things around. If it's not COVID, it's something else. It's a political situation or an economic situation. There's so many things in the world to be fearful about. But what helps you to go beyond fear is excitement. Right. I've always found in my life, when you get excited, you tend to lose all inhibitions. You know, you can start doing things that otherwise you would never do. We have to become excited. We have to become energized by the prospect of the Sankirtan movement. We may or may not realize, but we are part of history in the making. Amazing things will happen in this movement. Once I was with Shruti Dharmaprabhu and they were all trying to convince me to join the temple. And I had this ego that, you know what, they've understood that I am the chosen one. I am the one who's going to really do something groundbreaking. So I kind of had this pride about me because they were kind of spiritually headhunting me. And then one day, Shruti Dharmaprabhu said this thing to me that simultaneously humbled me like anything, but excited me like anything. It was a statement which did both things simultaneously, only he could do it. And he looked at me and he said, Sutapa, well, I wasn't Sutapa at that time, I was Sandeep. He said, Sandeep, this movement is going to spread to every town and village, every heart, with or without you. But do you want to be part of the adventure? In that moment, it was so humbling, but it was so enthusing and inspiring. I said, Prabhuji, sign me up. I want to be part of, I don't want to miss out. You know, if ever there was a valid reason to be experiencing FOMO, it was that point, right? Because if you're ever going to be in fear of missing out, be in fear of missing out on what's going to happen in the most amazing movement on this planet. We got to become excited. We don't know what's going on. We're kind of in this Krishna consciousness movement, and sometimes it all feels a little bit, okay, let's just be very honest, sometimes a little bit disjointed, a little bit spaced out. We're not sure like where it's really going. They're nice people, but like, is it really going to make an impact? We may not truly appreciate what's happening. This is history in the making. A couple of weeks ago, we had a retreat, and it was ISKCON Incorporation Day. And we were talking about the day Prabhupada incorporated the ISKCON movement. And it was a day in the Lower East Side in 26 Second Avenue when a few spaced out hippies were coming to the storefront. And Prabhupada founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and created a constitution and even had 10 of the hippies sign on the dotted line as trustees. And everyone was probably just thinking, the Swami's out of his mind. I mean, here we are, I mean, you know. But lo and behold, it all happened. It all happened. It's all happening now. And it's going to continue to happen with or without us. But we have the opportunity to be part of it. So we kind of say like, okay, roll up your sleeves, get stuck in, and find something amazing you can do and be part of the revolution. And then all the fears, COVID. Yes, we take precaution. Ultimately, we carry on. We have to get excited.
We have Niti Lakshana, and she would like to share her experience from the Rath Yatra day. So Niti, please go ahead and unmute yourself and you can share.
Hare Krishna, Sutapa Prabhu. I'm sorry, I joined late. I was with Guru Maharaj. So as soon as Guru Maharaj said bye to us, I came straight to your group. So apology, I missed so much. I try not to miss any of your classes, but today was impossible. I'm sorry, I have to pay my respect to Guru Maharaj, and I like only once a week we see Guru Maharaj, you know yourself. And it's nice to have your association as well, Sutapa Prabhu. My experience on Rath Yatra, because let's say about 2013, me and my husband decided to go to London Rath Yatra. And apparently, to cut the short story, we were asked to be stewards behind Balaram chariot. We just went for to join the yatra and enjoy a day. And since then, we've been doing it. So last year, obviously, there was not any Rath Yatra. So this year we went. I said to my husband, no matter what, we're going. Whether it's raining, whether it's this COVID, it's not going to stop me. Because how long are we going to stay in this prison and feeling sorry for ourselves, this COVID is going to kill us. Either way, we're going to go. So I said to my husband, let's go. So we went. Obviously, his cousin, his nephew asked us. We went to Romani, Sumasi Romani's wedding, and her cousin asked us to do the service on that day. So we went. But obviously, I felt at the time, there's no way I'm going to get a chance. But before then, I was praying to Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev at home for 3 weeks. Please give me this service. Please give me this service. And they gave my wishes come true. Whatever I got, I took it. We were in front of the chariot where we would have to keep the people, the devotees and the people away from the chariot. And it was enormous. It was something that me and my husband not done it. But this is my experience. So what I'm going to say is Lord Jagannath, Subhadrama and Baladeva, who listened to my prayers. And I tell you, I was overjoyed that they gave me this service. And at first he thought the Prabhu who was in charge of the chariot, because it was his chariot, Lord Jagannath. And we were used to serve on Balaram, but Balaram chariot wasn't on that day because they only had one chariot. So basically he goes to come in an hour's time. my eagerness would not stop me. I just went. I normally don't do that. I'm so person who's so shy. So I said, no, I'm going to go and ask for this service. I want this service. I'm going to go and take this service. Today, I'm going to serve Lord Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev. So he gave me, he gave us a service that day. And I tell you, the experience I had that day, it was, I fell over, it still didn't bother me. I love the whole part of it. So this is my, I just want to praise Jagannath, Lord Jagannath, Jodhpur, and Subhadra and Baladeva for giving me this service. And the encouragement I got mainly by listening to your class, and mostly, please forgive me for mentioning his name, Jankinath Prabhu. I've never met Jankinath Prabhu. I may have because he knows my nephew, but I can't remember. This is quite a while ago. And when I joined his memory, he has left that seed inside me, right? And I keep on listening to his lectures. I was listening to it yesterday when I was doing my service at home. And I pray that he keeps on putting that more seed on me and giving me encouragement to move forward into my service and come out of this shell that I have been all these years of not approaching for the services that I want to do. Like I heard Mamta Mataji when I joined, that she would love to join serve manor. And that is one thing I want to do, is serve manor. I serve in Leicester. I'm from Leicester though. So I really want to serve in manor. Manor is my dream. Whenever I come to manor, it's like a heaven. A heaven. I don't know why. It's so peaceful there, and it's like a heaven. You can feel Krishna, you can feel Radha Gokulanda there, you can feel everything. The atmosphere is totally different. It's like a Vrindavan, next to Vrindavan. I've never been to Vrindavan, but you can feel it. So I really want to serve in manor as well. So hopefully, you know, Radha Gokulanda will allow me to serve that. So I have to keep on begging them now to give me that service. So thank you for giving me this opportunity to say my experience. Thank you, Kishori Mataji. Thank you, Satutapa Prabhu.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. Very, very sweet. Very nice. Yes, let us fill our life with service. Once I was in Vrindavan and I was leaving Vrindavan, and it's always difficult when you leave Vrindavan. And one devotee said something beautiful to me. He said, there is the Leela Stali. Leela means pastimes and Stali means a place. So he said, Vrindavan is a Leela Stali. It's the place where Krishna performed all his pastimes. I said, yes, Prabhu, I'm leaving the Leela Stali. I don't know why, but I have to leave. I have to go back and do my service. And he said, Prabhu, there's only one place which is as holy as the Leela Stali. That place is the Seva Stali, the place where you have service. Because it is through that service that you will come face to face with Krishna. Krishna says, Bhakti Amam Abhijanati. There's no other way. You can only see me through service. So Srila Prabhupada has given us such a facility that, you know, morning to evening. I mean, people can have 1,008 complaints about ISKCON. But one complaint they can never have is that there's a shortage of service. I mean, there's unlimited opportunities to serve. And for whatever it's worth, all I can share with you today is that grab the opportunities. Like Niti Lakshana Mataji, grab the opportunity to serve Jagannath. Mamta Mataji, grab the opportunity to serve the training and education, whatever it may be. Just grab it, because you will look back in your life and you will feel very happy that you did all of those things, because they create a bond with Krishna and a bond with his devotees. that is the wealth of your life. So thank you for allowing me to share something and remind myself about deepening my own service attitude. And I hope I'll have the opportunity to serve all of you who I have so much respect and so much gratitude towards.